Father, thank you for the encouragement that we've heard this morning through music, a reminder of how great you are and how much you care for us, and the confidence that we are to have in you. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, and yet at times, life gets hard. Speak to us this morning in these next few moments, we pray in Christ's name, amen. If I was to ask you how much air you have left in your bubble, what would you say? Or in your balloon? Last few weeks, last few months, have really been tough on Central, on us. And each little trial, each little punch takes a little more air out of our balloon. And if we're not careful, we begin to waver. Oh, we would never admit that. And we would certainly put the smile on to not let anyone know the struggles that we're really dealing with and the grief that has got a hold on us and the discouragement that seems to be overwhelming. We would never let anyone know that. And the reason we wouldn't let anybody know that is because we have heard that Christians are to be strong. When the tough gets going, and when things get going tough, the tough get going. And we've heard these theological words of perseverance. We're told never to become weary in well-doing. We have heard the words of determination in everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, wilds. We do all for the glory of God. And then those words like attitude, biblical attitude, where James says, brethren, count it pure joy when you're going through these various trials. But what do you do? What do you do when it seems as though it just seems to keep pouring in and pouring on and it almost seems too much to bear? What do you do then? You do the same thing the Apostle Paul did. You know, I can't imagine being a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, the clout that came with that, the prestige that came with that. I mean, as Saul of Tarsus, he probably had life pretty easy. He had the best education. And he elevated himself to the point where he was at the cream of the crop. And I can imagine as a Pharisee, the way he had tackled life and had learned to be able to live a life to where when it came to righteousness of the law, blameless, life had been easy. And then on the road of Damascus, Jesus Christ grabbed a hold of him. And at that point, the Lord Jesus reminded Saul of Tarsus that there is only one reason to really live this life, and it's to bring honor and glory to God. And Jesus Christ, or Paul, surrendered himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and became the Apostle Paul. But don't you think for a moment it was easy. His first experience with the church, he was rejected. Can you imagine when he walked into the brethren there of the apostles and they saw that Saul of Tarsus was there? He got the coldest shoulder ever. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe his conversion was real. And they shunned him, his first experience. But then Barnabas, you know, he steps in and ministers. And it isn't long, and finally he is accepted. And he's sent off on his first missionary journey. Can you imagine the excitement of now being able to be truly used of God, and you have surrendered yourself and you're on your first missionary journey and you're going to be going out and sharing the gospel to the world? What an exciting time. Yes, sir, sure was. It was so exciting that that trio became a duel. John Mark was one of them that went with him. And it was just too much. I didn't sign up for this. And so John Mark calls her quits. Paul and Barnabas go on, and They come to Lystra. They've been run out of Antioch, and it seems like everywhere they're going, they're running into opposition and hatred and persecution. They get to Lystra, and they stone Paul and leave him for dead. That's what the service of the Lord calls for. Just sign your name, say the prayer, follow Jesus, and everything will go your way. If you just have enough faith and enough confidence, you can make sure that every disease will be healed. Every financial need you have will be met. All you got to do is have enough faith, and God will do the miraculous. Paul didn't find that to be true. That first missionary journey was enough to probably cause all of us to quit. But whatever happened, whether he actually died or not, after that stoning, he stood up. And he was ready to preach again. And the message that came out of his lips was this: through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. He understood that this following Jesus wasn't going to be easy. And even now, on his first missionary journey, he's stoned and left for dead. And he gets up and he said, "This is just par for the course." And he goes on. After about 10 years, his ministry is coming to a close. And we find him in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He starts out in verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, beloved." I'm in Philippians. Don't you, Susie, don't you for a minute. 2 Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Timothy, it's not going to get any easier. Timothy was that young man who was really beginning to wonder about this Christian service and following Christ, because he's watching his mentor. He's seeing all that he's going through, and he's in prison right now, and he's scheduled to be executed. And Paul is writing to this young man, and he says, "Timothy, it's not going to get any easier. Preach the word." He says in verse 3, the time's going to come when people aren't going to want to listen. They're not going to listen to sound doctrine. They're not going to want biblical preaching. They want to go where their ears can be tickled. It's not going to get easier. But then Paul goes down and he says, "Listen, you know, I want to follow the pattern that I have done. I'm ready to be delivered up. I've run the race." And then in verse 9, Paul's heart just spills over. Verse 9, he says this. Now, before I read it, just remember, this is the end of his life. This is not only his last book. The only message he's going to preach after this is his death. But here he is, after all of these years of serving the Lord, from the very beginning, he has been faithful. Even when they stoned him and left him for dead, he got up and went again. But there was trials and tribulation and suffering and persecution everywhere he went. And yet, how does the Lord reward a faithful worker? Somehow we have been told that if we are decent people living the best that we can and going to church and being faithful and giving and all of that, that somehow God owes us smooth sailing. So how does God reward a man? I don't know if many others other than the Lord Jesus, but I mean, I don't know if many other men who have been used like God, like him. And if God rewarded people for faithfulness and endurance, it would have been him. So how does God reward him? Verse 9, "Timothy, be diligent. Come quickly." What's the rush, Paul? Verse 21, "Do your utmost to come before winter." All right, winter's coming, and well, big deal. Verse 13, "Bring the cloak that I left, that outer garment, that garments that's needed in stormy weather." Here's the Apostle Paul, end of his life, sitting in a prison, cold and damp. He doesn't even have a blanket. That's how God rewards his servants. Oh, but my God shall supply all my needs. Yes, he can. But Paul also said, I know what it is to have lots, and I know what it is to suffer need. Guess what he's doing right now? He's suffering need. Timothy, please. I know it's dangerous, but please make that trip. Come quickly and swing by and pick up my cloak, will you? Verse 10, Demas has forsaken me. One of my closest friends, one of my comrades, a guy I would have laid my life down for, found this journey to be too difficult and too hard. And the things of this world grabbed a hold of him and away he went. Everyone's gone right now. Luke is the only one that's with me. He goes on to tell us, verse 11. Verse 14, Alexander, the coppersmith, has beat him up pretty bad. And I don't know if this is the Alexander that's meant earlier that also his faith went shipwrecked. But if this is the same Alexander, then he's probably an informer now. He's turned from Paul, he's turned from God, and now he's being used of the enemy to be an informer, bringing accusations against the Apostle Paul, making it even harder on him. Timothy, watch out for him. There's people like that. Be careful. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, not even one. They all forsook me. Oh, may God forgive them. Can you imagine that? This is how God has rewarded his faithful servant who has sacrificed his life, served him faithfully, wrote most of the New Testament, and he finds himself in his latter days all alone, without a blanket. And winter's coming. Winter's coming. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. Verse 18, he ends by saying, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Can you imagine that? How can it get worse than this? How much air would you have in your bubble if you found yourself in this situation? And yet without anyone there to support him, without anyone there to put an arm around him, he says, to God be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, we've gone through a lot, but in comparison, we haven't gone through much. And I want you to know that the same God that was getting the honor and the praise through Paul is the same God you and I serve. In the same way that he can meet Justin's financial needs in miraculous ways, in the same way that he's done it in some of our lives, he's still in control. But he's called each of us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to be careful that we keep our eyes focused on the author and the finisher of our faith. Because the moment we take them off of him and begin to look at our circumstances, the trials seem overwhelming. I don't want to be a John Mark. And I don't think any of you want to be a John Mark. Now in this book we find out he comes back. He got his act together and he got back. But don't want to be an Alexander either. I want to be able to hear those words just like you at the end of life as we stand before our Savior. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we have been reminded of your greatness through music today, and we've taken a couple of minutes to look at Paul's life and the hardships that he dealt with, and yet he stayed true. And I pray that you would help us as we've gone through an awful lot lately. It'd be easy for us to get discouraged, easy for us to throw the towel in, easy for us to think it's just way too much to bear. but you have made promises to us that we bank on. Those promises tell us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. For those of us who have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, those of us who have put our faith and confidence in him, and we understand he is the author and the finisher of our faith, you'll never leave us. And that you are able to take all of this, all of these, everything that's thrown at us, and use it for our good and your glory. Help us to see you do just that. You are the potter, we are the clay. Shape us, form us, lead us. And as we step away from the sanctuary here and go to our classrooms, continue to remind us of your greatness. We pray in Christ's name, amen.